There was no pattern to the murders. Bodies were found in twos and threes, or alone, or not at all. Some of the disappearances were bloodless, others left gallons of gore. There were no witnesses, no survivors of attacks. Location did not seem to matter. The Wymott family lived in one of the outlying villas, but Sarah Robb never stirred from her tower studio near the center of town. Two of the victims disappeared alone, at night, apparently while walking in the Zen garden. But Chancellor Lehman's daughter had private bodyguards, yet vanished while alone in a bathroom on the seventh floor of Sad King Billy's palace. On Lussis, or Tau Ceti Center, or a dozen other of the old web worlds, the deaths of 1,000 people add up to minor news. Items for the datasphere short term, or the inside pages of the morning paper. But in a city of 6,000, on a colony of 50,000, a dozen murders, like the proverbial sentence to be hanged in the morning, tend to focus one's attention wonderfully well. I knew one of the first victims. Sisyphus Harris had been one of my first conquests as a satyr, and one of my most enthusiastic. A beautiful girl. Long blonde hair, too soft to be real. A fresh-picked peach complexion, too virginal to dream of touching. A beauty, too perfect to believe. Precisely the sort that even the most timid male dreams of violating. Sisyphus now had been violated in earnest. They found only her head, lying upright in the center of Lord Byron's plaza, as if she had been buried to her neck in pourable marble. I knew when I heard these details precisely what kind of creature we were dealing with. For a cat I had owned on Mother's estate had left similar offerings on the south patio most summer mornings. The head of a mouse, staring up from the sandstone in pure rodent amazement, or perhaps a ground squirrel's toothy grin. Killing trophies from a proud but hungry predator. Sad King Billy came to visit me while I was working on my cantos. "Good morning, Billy," I said. "It's Your Majesty," grumped His Majesty in a rare show of royal pique. His stutter had disappeared the day the royal dropship landed on Hyperion. "Good morning, Billy, Your Majesty." "Oh," growled my liege lord, moving some papers and managing to sit in the only puddle of spilled coffee on an otherwise dry bench. "You're writing again, Silenus." I saw no reason to acknowledge an acknowledgment of the obvious. "Have you always used a pen?" "No," I said, "only when I want to write something worth reading." "Is that worth reading?" He gestured toward the small heap of manuscript I had accrued in 2 local weeks of work. "Yes." "Yes, just yes." "Yes." "Will I get to read it soon?" "No." King Billy looked down and noticed that his left leg was in a puddle of coffee. He frowned, moved, and mopped at the shrinking pool with the hem of his cape. "Never," he said. "Not unless you outlive me." "Which I plan to do," said the king, "while you expire from playing goat to the kingdom's ewes." "Is that an attempt at a metaphor?" "Not in the least," said King Billy. "Merely an observation. I haven't forced my attentions on a ewe since my boyhood days on the farm," I said. "I promised my mother in song that I wouldn't indulge in sheep-fucking again without asking her permission." While King Billy looked on mournfully, I sang a few bars of an ancient ditty called "There'll Never Be Another You." "Martin," he said, "someone or something is killing my people." I set aside my paper and pen. "I know," I said. "I need your help." "How, for Christ's sake? Am I supposed to track down the killer like some HTV detective? Have a fight to the fucking death on Reichenbach fucking Falls?" "Oh, that would be satisfactory, Martin. But in the meantime, a few opinions and words of advice would suffice. Opinion one, I said. It was stupid to come here. Opinion two, it's stupid to stay. Advice Alpha Omega, leave. King Billy nodded dolefully. Leave this city or leave all of Hyperion? I shrugged. His Majesty rose and walked to the window of my small study. It looked out, across a 3-meter alley, to the brick wall of the automated recycling plant next door. King Billy studied the view. You're aware, he said, of the ancient legend of the Shrike? I've heard bits of it. The indigenes associate the monster with the Time Tombs, he said. The indigenes smear paint on their bellies for the harvest celebration and smoke unrecombinant tobacco, I said. King Billy nodded at the wisdom of this. He said, The Hegemony First Down team was wary of this area. They set up the multi-channel recorders and kept their bases south of the bridle. Look, I said, Your Majesty, what do you want? Absolution for screwing up and building the city here? You're absolved. Go and sin no more, my son. Now, if you don't mind, your royal ship, adios, I've got dirty limericks to write here. King Billy did not turn away from the window. You recommend that we evacuate the city, Martin. I hesitated only a second. Sure. And would you leave with the rest? Why wouldn't I? King Billy turned and looked me in the eye. Would you? I said nothing. After a minute, I looked away. I thought so, said the ruler of the planet. He clasped his pudgy hands behind his back and stared at the wall again. If I were a detective, he said, I would be suspicious. The city's least productive citizen starts writing again after a decade of silence, only... What, Martin? 2 days after the first murders happened? Now he's disappeared from the social life he once dominated and spends his time composing an epic poem. Shy. Even the young girls are safe from his goatish ardor. I sighed. Goatish ardor, my lord. King Billy glanced over his shoulder at me. All right, I said, you've got me. I confess. I've been murdering them and bathing in their blood. It works as a fucking literary aphrodisiac. I figure 200-300 more victims tops, and I'll have my next book ready for publication. King Billy turned back to the window. What's the matter? I said. Don't you believe me? No. Why not? Because, said the king, I know who the murderer is.